Hello, and welcome once again to Healing From Within on WebTalkRadio.net. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and as always, it is my hope and intention to bring special guests from all over the globe to share stories and experiences that can lead us all to remember our energetic source of life, as well as understand physical challenges that help us make new connections and let new skills develop that are required for a compassionate, holistic life experience. Healing From Within is a radio show designed to help empower its listeners to rediscover and investigate the multidimensional aspects of healing and supply you the tools to assist in mastering your emotions and attitudes for personal self-development. Today, I welcome our very special guest, Master Charles Cannon, for a discussion on higher consciousness and the oneness and sacredness of life. Hello, Master Charles.
Hello, Cheryl.
It's my pleasure to have you here today. And in today's episode, Master Charles Cannon, author of Forgiving the Unforgivable and founder of the Synchronicity Foundation for Modern Spirituality, will describe the story of how he and 24 of his associates underwent a terrorist attack while they were guests at the five-star Oberoi Hotel in Mumbai, India, and will share the experience and its aftermath, discussing how through principles of enlightened living, members of his spiritual practice went through this life-threatening event and were still able to accept and forgive the terrorists. While Master Charles' book is certainly about forgiveness, more essentially, it is proof that by living in a certain heightened sense of consciousness, awareness, and love, forgiveness arises naturally and effortlessly, as was written in the foreword of the book by renowned spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle. Master Charles, let's begin first by going back to earlier events in your life to give our listeners some idea of how you were guided towards your life work as a spiritual teacher.
My earliest spiritual experiences began to unfold when I was 3 years old, and that was with apparitions of the Blessed Mother. I was raised in a Catholic family, and so icons of Christianity were in the house, and I was perhaps familiar with those as a young child, but this apparitional manifestation began to happen at the foot of my bed in the dark of the night, and she became my primary guide or primary teacher, and that relationship and that apparitional manifestation has continued throughout my life and is also continuing in the present day. And yet, what she taught me was not confined to any singular religion. She very gently but quickly led me out of singular religion into the one in the many, meaning the God or the source or the consciousness that is the essence of all and everything, which includes religion. So from my most formative years, I was educated in that context of understanding. And then as I developed and pursued more specialized education, of course, I was interested in comparative religion and philosophy as a gateway. And through that doorway, I explored all of the great wisdom traditions of humanity. And then when I was in my early 20s, she said to me, "I'm going to send you to a teacher." And I said, "Why? You're my teacher." And she said, "Yes, but you need to see the truth modeled in a human being." So she sent me to my teacher, who was a very well-known Indian guru, Paramahansa Muktananda in India, and I went and studied with him for the last 12 years of his life and became his personal assistant and one of the closest of his Western disciples. And so I have a long connection with India and the oldest of the holistic models of reality that have informed all the great religions that happened in that area of the world that is today India. So it was not unusual that I would be visiting India or visiting Mumbai, where I have been many, many times over the years and where I have many friends and associates.
Well, Master Charles, I'd like to share something with you that I haven't shared with very many people. Since my healing work and my inner search has I have begun to go within more and more over the last 15 years, and as a Reiki master teacher, I have also seen Mary. I have seen her in meditation, not actually standing at the foot of my bed. And it was one day when I was very sad over the behavior of some people, and I was actually shaking. And I saw her, and she said to me, well, in my mind, not, you know, in my thoughts, that she was very sorry for the pain I was feeling and that it would be taken out of my hands. And I also, during the course of hospice work, have seen Jesus in dreams and in meditation, and knew that I was supposed to be doing the hospice work to help people cross over and to have less fear of the dying process. Now, it is strange that I am not a religious person, and some people might find it strange that they are my guides, these religious figures. But I don't find it strange, because I feel we're all one and we're all here to learn more about ourselves as spiritual and physical beings, and that love brings the right helpers at the right time. And also, as a little girl at 3 years old, you said you had your experience. I had a different experience at 3 years old. I remember being very frightened in this physical world and looking up and saying, why did you put me here? And I believe I was talking, I wasn't aware at the time that my guides were there, but I knew something was above me and called to me and protected me, but I didn't see them or hear them yet. So we have had a similar beginning, but I would never have shared this years ago. And I also had a little doll, Jerry, as a little girl when I was frightened. I would talk to this doll Jerry. Now, I assume Jerry stood for Jesus, now that I am aware of these connections that I wasn't then. And I always cried whenever I watched any of the masters or religious people on television at holidays. And I just couldn't understand the insensitivity and the brutality of people towards these loving leaders or teachers or spiritual beings, but I didn't see them as one religion. I also study religion in college, too. So I guess a question I was going to ask you, and it might be appropriate now, is how do you see these divine entities in meditation or actually visually?
Well, I see the Blessed Mother or the Divine Feminine or the Divine Mother, however you want to name her. I see her in apparitional manifestation. In other words, in front of me, before me, coalesces this form of light, and it assumes the feminine form, and it has a very specific form that I have associated with her over the years, in which she has a long robe and a cowl kind of over her head, and yet her hands and arms are stretched upward and her head is thrown back in this posture of absolute abandon to ecstasy. And out of that posture, the gaze then focuses on me and I can hear her speak, and we can have a conversation. And this is not unusual. There have been many accounts of mystics in conversation or apparitional experience with many different forms of the divine feminine in and through all religious experience. We know it in the West in terms of Christianity, in terms of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but you find it in the East in Hinduism as Mahashakti. You find it in all of the great wisdom traditions, Kuan Yin, so many different representations of the same feminine principle, which is creation, the manifestation of the divine. God as mother is manifest reality, and God as father is the unmanifest. But the two polarities are really one as the same consciousness or the same source. So it's not unusual that we would have these experiences, and yet what do they show us? They show us the oneness. They show us the one in the many. And if we can open ourselves to that possibility, I always say, can you open yourself to the possibility of God having a relationship with you?
Personally,
Rather than you seeking a relationship with God, can you open to the possibility that God or source or consciousness, whatever you want to call it, would come to you and invite you into a relationship with God? And that's
well,
a little
at the beginning, yes, Master Charles, for me at the beginning, I was born Jewish, and for me at the beginning, it was very unusual and yet very beautiful. And I wanted to know what I had ever done to receive such a blessing and such a wonderful vision of love and connectedness. And I also, after my initial Reiki training, knew that to be a miracle, to be connected to the healing energies of God, the divine source, the universe, whatever we conceive that to be. So it was just a feeling of comfort in knowing that these things are real, not that God is a philosophical concept, as I thought when I was younger, but that this energy is there for all who love, who feel like they need to do more in this world, to know themselves, to accept themselves and others without judgment and with love, and that we are answered when we ask the questions. And that's how I feel about it now. But at the beginning, I was not sure what I had done to receive such a blessing, but was very grateful for it then as I am now. And let's go on to something else. You mentioned in the book that without a teacher or master to model the awakened state, your studies would have remained conceptual. Can you explain this idea and also the foundation of modern spirituality?
The foundation of modern spirituality is that it's all about the experience of true reality. And what is the experience of true reality? It's the experience of life as one consciousness. We are all one in essence, the unity within all diversity. So how do we experience that truth, that holistic truth of the oneness of all life? That is what modern spirituality is about. And modern spirituality teaches us that we can only ever experience true reality in the here and now of its happening. That if we are wakeful, if we are fully alive, if we are fully present in each moment of life, that is where the gateway to the experience of true reality as one consciousness is to be found. And the nature of that experience is the very nature of consciousness or life itself, which is a joyous, loving energy.
I agree.
Yes, so if we could open to it and experience it, we would fill ourselves with unlimited joy. But happiness is our nature. It's not that which we must seek outside of ourselves. It is our very nature that we must unveil within ourselves.
Yes, and in your book, you write, "I am, all is, oneness," and you also say, "There is only one. Be wakeful and present within the here and now of truthful reality and enjoy the experience whose time has come for you." Mm. Yeah, that expresses what you're saying so beautifully. And I think if we get back to the premise of the book, Forgiving the Unforgivable, and we go back to the experience you had in Mumbai when the terrorists were attacking the hotel and your group, we can hear a little bit about what happened there and how these ideas were able to see you and your fellow associates through a terrible ordeal. So would you tell us something about that experience?
Yes, I was on pilgrimage with 24 of my students, and they were all long-term practitioners of modern spirituality, long-term daily meditators. So they were pretty substantiated in the truthful perception of reality. And we found ourselves staying in this hotel when the terrorist attack happened. And we were held captive for 45-plus hours, and in the aftermath discovered that four of our members had been seriously wounded and two were killed, a father and his 13-year-old daughter, who were very dear to the entire community. But thereafter, after we were rescued by SWAT teams and returned to our countries and interviewed by the international media, we all expressed compassion and forgiveness of the terrorists. And that shocked the media, but nevertheless, they told that story. And in response came thousands and thousands of messages from people all over the world who said, "You have inspired us. How? Who are you? How did you get to be the way you are, and how can we learn to be that way too?" And so this book was written in response to all those beautiful people all over the world. And in the book, I wanted not only to share the experience of our journey through the terrorist experience, but to show that there's another way. There's another way other than fear and hatred and revenge and violence. Yes, everybody places us a choice in life, and the terrorists did that with us. We could choose their experience for ourselves and be life negative and hateful and want revenge and violence. Or we could say, "No, that experience is appropriate for you for reasons I don't understand, but I'm going to choose love. I'm going to fill myself with love and compassion and kindness, and I'm going to make that my contribution to our world."
So we always have a choice. The choice is to react to any situation, no matter how hard it is, with an emotion that is positive, loving, and that helps to refine our soul energy and bring us to another level of consciousness. And that's what we were born to experience in this physical life, those opportunities. And I know you said that experience was an opportunity, as are all difficult challenges, to bring us to another level of reacting not in the same way as negativity, but in a kinder, more compassionate way, no matter what the circumstances. And you did, you all were able to do that. And I think that's about as high as we can get in a physical body to be close to the divine and to heaven on earth, actually. And you also described the five core principles of the holistic model. And if you tell us something about that, it shows how we are conquering our mind or ego impulses to get to a balance that achieved when we transcend these other lower vibrational impulses or fears. So could you tell us something about the five core principle of the holistic model and how to,
Absolutely. The five core principles are very important. And the first one acknowledges the truth of who we are. It says, I am Source. I am the power. And the second one says, I create my reality by my choices.
Yes.
And my responses, and I create my experience. So first, I'm Source, I'm the power, I create my reality. The third one says, I'm responsible for my creation. I'm responsible for my experience. So whatever I choose is my choice, and I'm responsible for it. If I choose negativity and hatred and violence, I'm responsible for that. And there are universal laws that govern that, that say what you give in life is what you get.
Yes.
So you need to be really responsible and really wakeful in your choices to be as truthful as you can possibly be. And the truth is always love-based and life-affirmative and compassionate. And the fourth principle says, I can change my creation. I can change my reality if I recognize that I have chosen fraudulently, or I have invested myself in illusions of separation and difference and the negation of others. I have the power, because I am the power, to change my experience. And then when I do change my experience and maintain myself in a truthful and wakeful and harmonious experience of life, I am one and free. And
yes.
That's the final principle.
So that's wonderful, wonderful. Yes, and I think because of those principles that your students and others at that Mumbai event with the terrorists were able to hold on to their sense of faith as a way to peace and freedom, and to go past the limitations of ego and the illusion of our physical life. And in your book, you describe faith in all its magnificence. Can you tell us your understanding of faith, as it is such a loaded word?
What is the word?
Faith.
Faith.
F-A-I-T-H. Faith.
Faith. Ah, very good.
Ah, faith.
Faith is a most misunderstood word. What can you really have faith in truth, but the life that we all share? That is our unity, and that is the unity of all and everything. The same life, the same conscious life, empowers all and everything. So if you are wakeful to it and you are fully alive in the experience of life, you trust in it. You trust in yourself, because you experience it as that which empowers you, but you likewise see it empowering all and everything that you encounter. So for me, faith is trust in that substratum, that ground of being that we all share, and we trust that it's an intelligent consciousness. It knows what it's doing. It's orchestrating 50 billion simultaneous universes, of which we are just a small part. And if we can remain in alignment with that truth, we can flow with the happenings of our life, through which we grow our consciousness, we evolve our awareness, and ever increasingly become more whole and more free.
Yes, and you know, faith to me is a very, very important word, and to me it means courage and loyalty and service, and to have a confidence and joy, and to find your way home, to be at home anywhere with anyone, and to find meaning in your world and in life in general. And I think you express that so beautifully in the book. And I'd like to ask you, because many people ask me this all the time, well, who are we? Who are we, actually, and why are we here? Could you answer that?
That question was once asked to my teacher, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And he said in response, I am as you see me.
Perfect.
And that's a very profound statement. Of course, everyone and everything is as we see it. So we first have to look to ourselves as the creators of our experience. And if we really look into ourselves and ask ourselves that question, who am I? And we move through the layers of our beliefs and our data about it, and we get to the stillness of the mind, then something amazing happens. The mind gets transcended altogether, and we come to rest in the consciousness that we are, that joyful, blissful essence that we all share. So all words point to that experience, and yet we have to go beyond the words and deliver ourselves to that experience. And the most time-honored way of doing that is the art and science of meditation.
Yes.
Close your eyes, look into the center of your own being, and answer that question experientially for yourself. And then fill yourself with it. And when you fill yourself with it, you're going to likewise see it reflected in all and everything that surrounds you.
You know, it's very funny, but just today, someone came to my office and said, "What do you see?" She wanted to know intuitively what I saw. And I said to her, "What do you see?"
Very good.
And that answers what you were just saying so beautifully. I was kind of proud of myself that in such a simple way, I asked her to look at herself and to begin to discover what it was she needed to learn about herself, because that's what life is really about, our inward journey, opening up to the possibilities of the wonderment of our joy and our passion for life and for growth. Too many of us live in fear because we're afraid of dying. But really, when you conquer that fear, you can first begin to live. So I want to thank you, Master Charles Cannon, for joining us today as you and I presented examples and experiences for our listeners to know that as we learn more about ourselves and our journey towards higher consciousness, it is possible to forgive the unforgivable and live a life of positive acceptance of any challenge, recognizing everything is an opportunity provided for our soul and physical transformation. For more information on this book, go to forgivingtheunforgivable.com. And in summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Master Charles Cannon has shared a story of a brutal terrorist attack. But more importantly, we have discussed how the tenets and principles of a balanced and holistic lifestyle, along with gratitude for being just where we are and where others are in the present moment, helps us discover the formless divine aspects of our being and the stuff that dreams and life are made of. The events in our lives are the necessary components for new perceptions of the true reality of the oneness and divine source of our lives. In finding the truth of self, of life and death, and our constant awakening to moments of higher consciousness, we are reminded that we are all very much more than the illusionary identification of our life by our ego and mind and our fears, and that change and freedom from a limited view of self, of destiny, karma, make evolutionary change available to all of us. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and please go to my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear radio shows with the most prominent leaders in the field of health, science, energy medicine, and the arts.